The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Ding, 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 ding. Spaster.
I was hoping you'd play, man.
Good morning, Masonians. Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz. The Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning, broadcasting on a Quasimodo Wednesday from the Auction Community Studios. We say good morning to you, my brothers. Oh, I love doing that. One of the best things, again, over and over, how many times we've talked about it. One of the best things about actually playing in the National Football League was as a grown man being able to walk into the Paradigm, walk in between those white lines, and scream at the top of your lungs. And I don't mean scream like some quarterback screamed at the bottom of a pile. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the guttural. Duh! That was just the best thing about it. And on a Quasimodo Wednesday, I get to do it again. There it is. Listen to this right here, because hold on. Let me tee this up, because Basinonians, I have heard grown men, honestly, I kid you not, grown men sound just like this at the bottom of a pile. Oh, it warms the bones, my brothers. Yes. That's like a lullaby to me.
What's so rude about you playing that? By the way, hi, my name's Doug. Is what's so rude about you playing that? Is people don't know, at this early in the morning.
That was way too much energy for 6:03.
I don't know if he's listening this early, but Dan Marley probably doesn't want to admit this publicly.
Danny,
hardcore regular listener to the Doug and Wolf Show.
Danny.
And Grand Canyon has a game at home tomorrow night, which means they're not traveling today. So he could be up listening right now.
No.
And he doesn't even know
the thunder,
what that's from. But that scream is from the sound being made by the New Mexico State student section before a GCU missed free throw.
No.
Exactly 3 seconds before the half-court shot is hit.
No.
They were at the free throw line shooting the one-on-one. GCU missed the front end of the one-on-one. They turn around, rebound an outlet pass, and a shot from about 51 feet
goes in
at the buzzer.
Oh, that's so good.
And
right
now,
there.
Every time Dan hears that, he's going to go nuts. And he had no idea. I mean, he's on the sideline. He doesn't know some student screaming in the student section.
Danny,
now, every morning he wakes up and hears that, he's going to know what that's from.
Thunder, just know that I'm laughing. I'm not laughing at you, so to speak, okay? I'm laughing with you right now. The combination of Doug Lease actually knowing where that scream was from, that's just mind-numbing to me, to the fact that it sounds exactly like some grown man at the bottom of a pile.
It's college basketball. You know me. I can't help it. I mean, I watched Duke Syracuse the other day. I was, I still have like 7 college games on the DVR that I haven't seen yet that I got to watch just because I love it and I want to know. I wish this was a college basketball town, but I know that it's none of my business what you want to spend your money on. But I do it for the NBA draft, and I do it because I love March Madness.
One of the biggest differences in the game of football today, as opposed to when I played back in the ancient days, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that, number one, it's how you prepare a football player to play in a game. It is how you prepare a football player. All you used to do was drive them into the ground, beat them up. Practice was tougher than the game. You just, you drove them into the ground, and every drill you did, you hit so much. Even I remember putting on full pads and practicing on a Wednesday in December, and the tempo being almost all full speed. Here we go, full go.
How did that work for you guys?
It's unbelievable, Doug Lease.
It is crazy.
You know what? Honestly, we didn't think anything of it, but it's because of what everyone else was doing. So it's how you prepare a football player to play in a game. But not only that, it's how you treat your opponent. On the field, you used to honestly, it was, you don't understand, I'm going to drive you into the ground because you are my sworn enemy at this point in time. And then when we walk off the field, it's going to be fine. All right. We're all going to be great. Nothing wrong. But on the field and in between these white lines, I am going to metaphorically try to behead you. And I'm sorry to be so graphic, but that's exactly how you felt. And when a guy would be a cheap shot artist, and oh, there were cheap shot artists, there would be guys, the only time they'd hit you is when you weren't looking at them. And there would be times, underneath the pile too, they'd cheap you. So, you know, retribution was now, swift.
Now it's an automatic personal foul if you grab a guy on the pile to pull them off the pile. Just that simple.
What?
You're talking about what's going on under the pile, and now anything above the pile can be a penalty.
Let's just lock arms and sing Kumbaya, shall we? Oh, and then we'll put the bonnet on and play a football game too.
Where did this rage come from today?
I have no idea. You know what? Honestly, get us out of here.
And now,
I blame Dog.
It's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
Didn't say anything for the first three minutes.
You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five
this morning. We don't normally talk Warriors basketball, but this is just strange. The Denver Nuggets, 18-3 at home going into last night's game. 18-3.
Okay.
And the Warriors put up 51 points in the first quarter alone to win 142-111.
I don't remember a better first quarter. That was a fireworks show.
Curry and Thompson combined to score 62 points in the game, and they only made 3 points from the free throw line. 62 points.
Can you say statement,
man,
by the Warriors?
That was a statement. That was, you. Do you think you're going to be invited to the Western Conference Finals? You're not getting past that.
Number four
this morning is what's going on tonight. Coyotes against the Sharks, 8 o'clock. That's right. 8 o'clock faceoff at home. If there's any way you can get to the game, do it. San Jose has the second biggest streak currently right now.
Yeah.
The problem is the longest streak is Anaheim's losing streak. Anaheim's lost 12 straight. But the longest positive streak is 7 games by San Jose. They're going to the Coyotes are going to need every fan they can possibly get to this game tonight. It's if you can't get there, it'll be right here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
There are three teams with 47 points in the Western Conference. Then St. Louis with 45. The Coyotes 43, 4 points out of a playoff spot. Let's go.
Number three.
I let that hang. Bruce Arians did a couple conversations yesterday, one with us in which he said, you know what, I just didn't feel like I got to be me when I was doing the television. So that's at our website at arizonasports.com. He also talked to Adam Schefter, and on the Adam Schefter podcast, he was asked about Antonio Brown because of the time that BA spent as a offensive coordinator with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he said,
from afar, yeah, it's just too much miscommunication, too much diva.
Amen.
Oh, boy. Okay, I didn't know if it was over or not But, yeah, I got so much to say about this because if, in fact, Antonio Brown was thrown a lifeline, it was thrown yesterday.
Number two.
I'm interested in that. Number two this morning is the Arizona Cardinals as the coaching situation continues to take shape. You want to know more about it, just go to arizonasports.com as they've been on fire with the latest. The newest one is Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, bringing somebody else with him as he's hired a defensive backs coach to join him. And Robertson comes in after bouncing around to a couple different teams but moving his way up the ladder reasonably quickly.
Yeah, once again, this staff is coming together. What does it say? Can we read the coaching tea leaves, my friends? Yes.
Marcus Robertson's been coaching in the secondary since 2009.
Yes.
So, this isn't
another
like,
NFL coach.
Yeah, yeah, they've gotten been able to get a ton of them.
Number one.
And the number one thing that you need to know about this morning, how many times have you heard Igor Kokoschkov say this to us or to AZ Central?
10 turnovers, way too many. When you open the game, that way we were behind the whole game. So, didn't show up tonight.
We didn't show up tonight. Hey, Suns, when will you? With Devin Booker in the lineup. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Suns, a massive loser last night.
Let's roll this morning.
Are you trying to pick us up and be positive about the trash that was put forth as an effort yesterday?
No.
Okay, good.
Ignore me, Douglas, as I talk, okay? Because I'm in a different place.
I don't have the abilities that you do.
I just am in a different place this morning. Good morning, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz, the Doug and Wolf Show.
I do feel like there's a sense
of denial on the edge of our seats.
I feel like I don't want to bring anybody down, but I admit nothing is worse than when you have a 100 loss baseball team.
Yeah. That's pretty
early. That weighs on you.
Well,
I mean, I'm sure you can talk about
3-13 was pretty bad.
You know, are your kids healthy? Does your wife love you?
Yes,
things like that.
Of
okay.
course.
But once you move past that, to
different
me,
paradigm.
The losing is such a drain every day. I get the 3-13, how bad that was. But there's something about you just get over it during the week with this weird sense of hope.
That's true.
You shouldn't have any hope.
No, that's
you
true.
You do. You by Thursday or Friday, it's like, okay, the other weekend's gone. Maybe magic will happen at Lambeau or something.
You're right.
And then you actually win. And
you're
you go,
right.
Oh, okay, look at that.
Yep.
With baseball, it's every – when you're losing, when you're going something like 2-5, 2-4 every week,
yes.
It's just, ugh.
I would have to agree, especially here in Phoenix.
I'm there with the Suns.
In the summer.
I'm so drained this morning, and I did nothing. There's nothing last night in my family life that justifies how I feel today. But I just go in, and I watched that game last night, down by 20 in the first half. And I wish we could have a little what we call bit in the business of what I would consider to be the Josh Jackson whisperer. You've heard of the quarterback whisperer?
Yes.
I think there's a Josh Jackson whisperer. And the reason why I say that is sometimes he plays like such crap. And it's clear to me there's an agent or a family member in this kid's head. Who's saying, you're not getting enough attention, you're not getting this, you're not getting
just
that.
Out of control.
And
sometimes.
He just comes into games and it's like, I'm going to establish me today. And every time he does that, he's a disaster. And every time he just plays, just lets his athleticism go. There was a play early in the game last night where he got fouled, there was no call. The officiating was trash last night.
Oh my goodness.
Absolute trash. And yet... it immediately got into the Suns' head, and they just shut down. So I would normally want to go on a rant of how bad the refs were. I mean, if you want to back it up with free throws,
yeah.
The Suns shot 18. The Pacers made 27. That was
27.
That big of a difference.
Made 27.
The amount of free throws shot 18 to 36. If you add 18 and 18 together, it normally equals 36. The Suns shot 50% of the free throws that the Pacers shot, and then the Suns turned around and only made 50% of the shots they shot
There may be a disappointments room later on that.
It was so bad, and yet in no way am I even remotely using it as an excuse, because what it exposed is the Suns being mentally weak,
that
they could not overcome it mentally and just started chucking up shots and just giving up. It was like, well, you're not going to call anything, so I'm just going to throw this up.
Well, I would also say, too, they're a little lazy, especially early on.
Amen.
Lazy with their feet.
And listen, the Warriors' weird little spell they went into January, should it ever happen? No. You're a professional athlete. Go do your job just like the rest of us go do your job.
But it does.
But when you win championships every other year, or in the Warriors' case, every year, I kind of get it. You're just, okay, when did the playoffs start? You know, I get it. You're the freaking Suns. When do you win? I don't understand how a team that stinks this bad for this long ever goes into a game and doesn't show up. And then at least do it against a team that stinks like you. You go into Cleveland, okay, but you still shouldn't do it, but okay. It's the Pacers are the third best team in the Eastern Conference,
they're
and
good.
That's what you put up?
You better believe it. The start was so bad for the Phoenix Suns last night. Did you see it, brothers? Just sloppy. The only way you could characterize it is sloppy. 9 turnovers in the first quarter.
Oh, it's bad.
Oh, just 9. There are some teams that play entire games
and
have fewer turnovers than that.
Is there any definition of not showing up? 9 turnovers and then the amount of times they couldn't guard Bogdanovich. Like he's the front page of the scouting report.
Yes.
Front page of the scouting report, and you're either going down on one end and turning the ball over or going down on the other end and not picking up Bogdanovich.
Transition defense? Oh, my.
Oh, what? Terrible.
What? The Suns allowed the Pacers to score 38 points in the first quarter. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you go and you look at the advanced metrics, the Indiana Pacers are a pretty good offensive team, okay? Defensively, they're like number 2 in the advanced metrics. The defensive rating now that they have out there, right?
Defensive efficiency?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They're number 2 in the league. This is a good team, a solid team. The Pacers had won, what, 8 of 10 games coming into this game last night. This is a good basketball team. And I think they could surprise some people once they got into the postseason.
And you notice my rant, yours didn't kind of qualify. I didn't even mean to, but I'm just frustrated with it. We didn't say DeAndre Ayton. And in this game, DeAndre Ayton did not play well, but the turnovers were so bad they didn't get him the ball. Like sometimes I get mad at Ayton because he doesn't get the guy on his hip and really show I want the ball, and then it's hard to get him the ball. In this game, early on, there were times where DeAndre Ayton busted it down the floor and set up post position right there in the paint, and they still struggled to get him the ball. Now, did he kind of shut down when people weren't getting him the ball? Yeah. But the whole team shut down on this one. This was not a DeAndre Ayton thing, except for one guy. I can't believe, I never thought at the beginning of the year, kind of because he wasn't here, I'd be saying this, but every game, Oubre does do something, and then he actually called out the team slightly, not a big step up, to AZ Central.
I got to watch the film.
Yeah.
You know, I got to watch the film, analyze the game, see what it was. And, you know, I'll have the answer on a later date. I got to look at it, man, because it's something that we definitely want to, you know, never let happen again.
When he said we don't want to ever let happen again, the specific question is, you know, what happened defensively? And he was being specific that we weren't there. And I know it's kind of hard to hear that sound because it was not the greatest microphone of all time. But he said we weren't there defensively. Yeah. And the reason why I appreciate that is Oubre had 16 points. I only thought one of his 13 shots was a bad shot. 12 of them were good shots.
He just continues to shine.
And then he's there after the game saying, we can't let the defense like it happen again. And I mean, who thought when you put this team together, Oubre's going to be the leader? But right now, boy, they need somebody to step up.
Just watching the Suns play last night, over and over and over again, it just resonated, other than the officiating. And I kid you not, I needed a disappointments room last night in the compound for the officiating. And I never talk about the officiating ever. But the only thought that I continued to have the whole time was, can a brother get an entry pass?
Exactly.
They have the hardest time getting the ball into DeAndre Ayton.
And at the beginning of the year, blame Ayton. Last night, no.
I agree.
Last night, no. That was on the guards. It was on Josh Jackson for his ridiculous passes in. And one other note, since you brought up the officiating again. The Suns had 2 technical fouls in this game. Josh Jackson had one and TJ Warren had one. And I have to tell you, this is going to keep being a trend.
No, you're right.
Because Igor Kokoschkov is not doing enough at all to stand up for this team. Is it sad that he has to? Yes, this is an NBA problem, and it's not like, oh, whine about the Suns, because it's been going on for 45 years. The league has always been this way. If you're young, refs call nothing in your benefit. Nothing. And it's ridiculous. The name on the back of the jersey should have nothing to do with this. When you hear that, that's a foul.
Right.
Now, they actually didn't do a bad job on the Suns. I think a lot of the fouls they called on the Suns were pretty legitimate. The defense was that bad and they were slow.
Oh, I
But the
I
same thing was happening on the other end. The same thing was happening where the Suns at the beginning of the game were driving and getting absolutely nothing. And it was just such trash.
So
and if
many
the Igor's
touch
not going to do anything, then I tell you, the players are going to keep mouthing off to the refs. And Igor, right now, you keep acting like an assistant coach. This is the difference. This is the difference. Yeah. You've got to stand up for your guys. Sometimes, even if it's not the right decision as far as the actual foul call. Because what's going to happen is these guys are going to turn on you because they don't think you have their back.
Yes, you're right about that right there. So even though it's stupid, it's stupidus, as we say in the Latin, to go off and get a technical, right? But it's called human nature. At some point in time, how do you just not lose your mind? What are you doing? Explode. Yeah. It's hard for me to understand that. And although I know that it's not the wisest thing to do. But when you're actually competing, it's expected.
One last point. Why didn't I clap my hands instead of foul myself?
Yeah.
I mean, my forearm hurts. Coming up next, the Cardinals continue to fill out their staff. So what does it mean so far?
Break out the Bengay.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I'm not a downer. I'm real. I'm real.
Doug and Wolf. Doug and Wolf morning, 6 to 10.
Well, good for you, Doug.
The Doug and Wolf Show.
I'm going to hit him high, hit him low. Bye, 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 bye. Eat your pigskin, Wolf.
98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
If you could send me a tweet at Doug987FM. And there's a question out there that if you were in your 20s or 30s and you remember the days of being a high school or college athlete, what did you use? Because it rolled off the tongue way too easy for Wolf in the last beautiful part of the program to say Bengay. And,
yes.
For me, in my generation, if you're in your 40s, it's Icy Hot. That's what I use.
Icy Hot.
Now, is it still Icy Hot?
It's neither. It's just Heat Bomb. Just go with Heat Bomb. Yeah. Please, save yourselves right
now. I've seen BioFreeze get advertised a lot.
Just stop.
Dude, Jennifer has a tube of that. Gay. That's what I mean, honestly. I don't even know if they make it anymore.
I assume. I don't know if anybody buys it.
Only Doug remembers from high school sports, and all the seniors would put in his jock strap as a prank. That's what Doug remembers.
$10.35 on Amazon right now.
Oh, there you go.
For Bengay.
A little Bengay.
If you want that. Right now, we have Paul Calvisi live in the Auction Community Studios to report on the new offensive coordinator. Who is it?
Jim Bob Cooter was in town.
Wow.
You can't say it like that.
I just like saying it.
Say it the way you mean.
I said it. It's Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter.
So you're not reporting it's Jim Bob Cooter. You are stating that's who you want because you want to say his name.
Oh, absolutely. That's why the Lions have been on the schedule every year for like 20 years, just in anticipation of saying Jim Bob Cooter is on the sidelines calling up the plays.
The one that we do know, the newest one, Marcus Robertson, is the defensive backs coach, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. He says that's the one, and he's following Vance Joseph as it's funny you mentioned the Lions. He was with the Titans, he was with the Lions, he was with the Raiders, and it's almost always as a defensive backs coach. He's been a defensive backs coach, either the assistant DB coach or the head of the position since 2009. So this isn't like some young upstart guy getting his first shot with Vance Joseph. This is what this guy has done for a decade.
And how many years did he coach with Cliff Kingsbury? Or what is the tie there? Do you have any ties whatsoever there?
The ties with Vance Joseph, isn't
it? With Vance
that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I was going to say. I thought it was zero.
Don't answer it, Doug. It's a trick question.
Basinonians, the trend continues once again. This is stunning. I was talking yesterday to a couple of old NFL coaches over the last couple of days, I should say, Basinonians. And the way that the Arizona Cardinals, especially, are constructing this staff right now, It blows their mind. What they did is they identified a head coach that went, man, this boy really, really smart, this kid right here. We're going to give this kid this savant. We're going to hire him as our head coach, and then we're going to fill out the staff for him. Wow.
So can I stop?
Paradigm shift in the NFL.
Can I hit the brakes for a minute? When you say the Arizona Cardinals, quote unquote, are constructing this staff, don't you mean Steve Keim? Can't we specifically narrow this down? Is this not Steve
and his staff, Paul?
And Vance Joseph in this case. Like a Marcus Robertson obviously is directly from Vance Joseph as a defensive coordinator. They work together in Denver and other places, et cetera. I get that. But the staff construction, the architect, has been Steve Keim. And to me, what it's eliminated is any hints or chance of cronyism. It's not a bunch of guys who go back 20, 30 years to a bunch of jobs and they work together in this spot and that spot.
You're right, Paul.
He, from what I can tell from the outside looking in, he scanned the landscape. He said, you know what? I'm going to do my best job to get the best coaches for every position, regardless of whether they've known each other and their families have hung out for the last 2 decades.
Yeah, forget about the cronyism, number one. And number two, and understand, that's the way it always has been in the NFL. You hire a head coach, he comes in, he says, go get this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. That's my staff.
My
go
guys.
Get them.
My guys.
Exactly right. It's not just happening here. It's happening league-wide. Look at what the New York Jets just did. They were going to hire Greg Williams as their defensive coordinator, regardless of the head coach they hired. Regardless.
That's right. Adam Gase had eyes on Greg Williams, or maybe not. Or maybe it was management that set their sights on Greg Williams in New York.
I also wonder if you haven't heard the story with the New York Jets that Matt Rhule, the Baylor head coach, was rumored to be right there. And then he backed out because of the reports that came out that he was going to be told who his staff was.
Maybe it
wasn't the full staff. Maybe it was only Greg Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at it and saying, I don't want that guy who thinks who just arguably ran out the last coach. Because if you watched Hard Knocks, you knew from the beginning Todd Haley and Greg Williams were trying to be interim head coaches. And maybe Matt Rhule is saying, I don't want a former NFL head coach as my defensive coordinator who's already been an interim head coach a couple times.
Hey, guys, now we know why Adam Gase sat down with the dead man stare in that presser.
That's right.
He knew who his defensive coordinator was going to be.
It's one thing for management to say, we're going to name your defensive coordinator. It's another thing for them to say, it's going to be Greg Williams.
Yes.
Because he's not just a former NFL head coach. He's maybe the most difficult personality in the NFL, to be kind.
Now, dead men tell no tales.
The one thing, though, this with the Cardinals that I think this is going to be a fantastic study in human psychology if you care about this stuff. If Steve Keim put together a bunch of guys with egos, and every coach has a pretty good sized ego, but are they going to be able, as you talk about players, are you going to be able to check your ego at the door as coaches? Because all of you are experienced NFL coaches. They did a great job putting together the resumes of different coaches, but now you're coming into a group where, and here is your college football head coach. You know, if you want the players to listen to the college football head coach, you better have the coaches listening to him.
It's a valid question, but at first glance, and what we've seen so far very early in the tenure of Cliff Kingsbury, guess what? The head coach does not have an ego. So how dare you have an ego as an assistant if the head coach does not? Because everything we've seen and heard, and Adrian Wilson confirmed this, he has a lot of self-awareness. And he knows enough to know he doesn't know everything about the NFL. The truly smart people in the world realize they only know a fraction of what
can possibly be
obtained.
You're right.
Hey, the dumbest people you meet anywhere in the world is those suffering from know-it-all-itis. They know everything about everything on every topic. Cliff Kingsbury is not that guy. He's willing to admit, I need to learn on the job. And so if you're an assistant, you better not have an ego that goes beyond the head coach, because you're out of line, pal.
What I love about this, people that are going to be really, really important, people that like Sean Kugler, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can look
offensive
at the staff.
Coach.
Yes, you can look at the staff and say, okay, number one, they haven't worked together, to Paul's point, the cronyism, which I love. I think it's valid right there. Number two, they are NFL coaches. Look at their resume. The vast majority of these guys, they are NFL coaches, and guess what? They recently coached in college, a lot of them. especially the guys that are really important. The guys like Sean Coogler, guys like Vance Joseph, he's an NFL coach, but guys that have actually had experience. When you look at some of these guys, Billy Davis, you look at these guys that have recently had experience with college. That's important, I think. I think it's important to understand the college game because that's the new thing coming into the NFL. Can you actually scheme against that? Do you know where the weakness is? I hate to bring this up because I don't want to look back. But I can tell you that over and over and over again, how many times did you see the zone read shred the Arizona Cardinals this year? How many times did you see that play shred? They could not stop it, ladies and gentlemen. They could not. I think it's important that you've got some college experience as well that you can apply to this new era in the NFL.
I think that makes Bill Davis a really important hire. You don't normally talk about a linebacker's coach, but setting the edge in a 3-4, okay. Let's have a good linebacker's coach who's familiar with it. Greatest show on grass returns to the TPC Scottsdale as the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Tees off on January 28th and runs through February 3rd. Head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for your chance to win tickets to this year's Open. Coming up next, last night's loss has us asking a question nobody really wants to ask. Why did the Suns play so bad with Devin Booker in the lineup? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I don't know if there's anything that always makes you laugh, but I've been grumpy all morning because of, I shouldn't be because of a basketball game. But the Suns just really fired me up last night with the trash effort they put forth and just they're a civic embarrassment. And I know that seems harsh, but it's just you know, at some point it's been a decade of losing and no one seems to want to do anything about it. But I started flipping around and saw an article that's coming out now for the AFC Championship game. And you can imagine that everything's getting thrown out there. And I just saw the famous picture of Andy Reid standing in line on Monday Night Football for the punt, pass, and kick contest.
So good.
When he's three times the size of every kid behind him. And as soon as you see, I'll tweet out the link to the article in a little bit. As soon as you see that picture, it just does put you in a better mood. And it makes me feel better to be able to talk about what happened last night in Indiana. We looked far and wide and found this.
DJ Warren gets it out to Kelly Oubre. Three-pointer. Shazam!
There you go.
Oubre hits the three.
That's the lone highlight that we could find last night in an exhaustive search of everything that was positive from the Suns last night. If you could, Bear or Maloney, will you play the play-by-play of Devin Booker hitting the three-pointer?
Yeah. There wasn't a three-pointer.
He went 0 for 4.
Oh, there you go.
He was a minus 31
yeah.
in the game last night.
Minus 31.
By the way, I really appreciate Maloney's work ethic because she did scramble and start looking around and then looking up Aaron and was hoping somebody would play something.
Yes.
It is a growing trend, and we're smart enough not to do the old stat, okay, what's the Suns' record with Devin Booker and without Devin Booker?
Yes.
But at the same time, why is there such a problem with the defense when Devin Booker is playing?
Why?
Because Devin Booker is not a good defender, but he's no longer atrocious.
Correct.
And
I agree with that.
And therefore, there's got to be something going on. I don't know if they feel like they're all standing on offense, waiting for D-Book to do something. And listen, when you stand on offense, you're not in the flow of the game and you end up standing on defense. I don't know if they already quit so early because the officiating was so bad and they thought we're not going to be able to get anything go our way. But I don't know if it was just simply the live ball turnovers. The turnovers were so bad in the first quarter that then there's no defensive rotation. It's more 3-on-2, stuff like that. Indiana in this game, plus 15 in fast break points. I mean, they were just moving up and
transition
down.
Transition defense was awful.
It was so bad. And everything about the Suns last night was bad, but it is kind of a weird thing over the last 3 weeks or so as Devin Booker's been in and out of the lineup, and it does seem like the guys are doing more when they don't have D-Book.
Yeah. I think they know they have to do more when they don't have Devin Booker, right? this is something that you've been on this whole time. I have to give you credit on this one, Douglas. You've been out in front of this thing. Every now and then, the light bulb goes on Doug's head. Every now and then, has an actual thought, a salient thought. And this is certainly it. I think there's, for whatever reason, they seem to relax when Devin Booker is out there. And they're relaxing on the defensive end of the floor. Last night, the start was so bad. They had 9 turnovers in the first quarter alone. How sloppy could you possibly be? And you could see it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Their body language was sloppy from the very beginning. Their transition defense was disgusting. The Suns allowed 38 points, first quarter points, to the Pacers. Now listen, the Pacers are a good team, and guess what? They're playing well as a good team right now. They had won 8 of 10 games coming into last night's game. And suddenly you got Devin Booker in the lineup, and everything looked sloppy. And then the defense, oddly enough, did you see this? In the second quarter, the defense came to the rescue. It surfaced.
Yeah, you're right.
They cut a 19-point lead deficit to 7.
There was a time frame in that second quarter, if you didn't see last night's game, in which for about 3 straight minutes, it just bounced back and forth between a 9-point deficit and a 7-point deficit. Just keep going back and forth, and you just keep thinking, okay, just get one stop.
Yeah.
Get one stop, and then cut it to 5, and maybe something good is going to happen. And then what broke the trend was another wide-open Bogdanović shot. He made a 3 to make it a 10-point lead, and after that, you talk about quitting. I mean, just a massive, okay, we're done. We're just done. And there was nothing else to be proud of in the game. D-Book, why all the turnovers?
Just not being aggressive. You know, we're not aggressive. I feel like it's going to turn the ball over.
And that was a weird comment, when we're not aggressive. And I wonder if he's talking to the team, because to me, it wasn't a case where there was a controlled aggression, where you drive, create penetration that forces the defense to react, and then dish. It was standing flat-footed and then trying to whip the ball to non-cutters. It was really dumb. I mean, people aren't moving, and yet you're trying to force the ball to non-moving people who aren't open. The decision-making was disastrous. So when they say aggression, so many times you mean dribble penetration. Mm-hmm. So many times you mean stuff like that. The aggression was, how many times did you see a guy cutting to the basket? How many times did you see people move? And that kind of worried me, because this is supposed to be Igor's forte, is the offense. And when I see a bunch of guys standing, I don't know whether to look at him and say what's going on, or whether to look at the players and say, I'm sure there's no offense with 4 guys standing still the whole time.
Yes, and it wasn't just that. It was also the officiating. I'm just going to say this. I never, ever, ladies and gentlemen, point to the officiating and say that was the reason why they lost the game. And I won't even point it this morning, because they lost the game because the Indiana Pacers are a better team than the Suns. Ron Wolfley reporting. Okay, they lost the game because of that. But oh my goodness, the officiating was so bad. As a matter of fact, Bear, and this is real, ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly how I feel. Why don't you go ahead and walk me into the disappointments room, please? Could you do that right now? The disappointments room, are you kidding me, ladies and gentlemen? Everybody should have a disappointments room in their home. Soundproof, padded walls, elevated wall speakers, wrestling mat floors, no windows, one way in, baby, a hatch in the floor, and maybe some mannequins. The officiating was awful. I've never seen somebody touch fouls in my life. Every time a Pacers player took a step towards a basket, there was a whistle, or at least it seemed that way. And every time the Suns got whacked, hacked, cracked, and otherwise spread on a cracker, they got jacked for the most part. I could not believe what it was. Spread on a cracker. Whacked. Keep it fair. Are you kidding me? I realize you got a bunch of young names and a bunch of young guys and you don't know who they are, and you're blowing the whistle because they're the Suns. But give me a break.
This probably wouldn't be the time to tell you this, but one of the refs did play for the Pacers for about 4 or 5 years.
Stop it.
He did, yeah.
Keep it fair. And I didn't think the Zebras did. It was one-sided. How many free throw attempts for the Indiana Pacers? 36. How many for the Suns? 18. I never talk about this stuff. I despise myself and reject myself in front of King and Country for doing it. But it's the truth. What are you doing? The NBA's got a problem.
The NBA has a refereeing problem.
And they've had a problem for a while in regard to the name on the back of your jersey. Boy, it was disgusting. That's not why they lost the game. Hear me well on that.
I'm telling you, it's a bigger problem because the players are starting to get so wrapped up into the officiating, and that will continue as long as Igor doesn't do anything about it. Until Igor starts to lose his mind on the refs, they're not going to get the respect, and he won't have their respect. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast is brought to you this week by Kinetico. Coming up next, the Cardinals continue to look for an offensive coordinator. Catches one of them that might be the best fit. Just got beat down by analytics. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.